Football Sunday here on WEEI. Christian Arkin, Mego, Chris Scheim as well. We'll be joined by Tommy Curran here momentarily once we get him on the horn. Not Tom Sawyer. That was Jacoby Brissett, who has been taking a beating, as you heard Chris Gasper say to him there, and he's basically just printed on a T-shirt at this point, right? I just keep getting back up. That's his thing. He gets back up. He doesn't complete a lot of passes, doesn't get a lot of first downs, but he does keep getting back up.
He gets back up.
He does get back up, and that's something. It's something you can say. He's a tough guy. He's accepted his role pretty well, I think. I mean, considering what they are asking him to do, considering what they've put around him, considering how this is all sort of shaken out for him and for the team in general, I think that he does have the right temperament for doing this. I don't think, like, if you had Russell Wilson here right now, and he was your starting quarterback, and it was going as badly as this is going right now, it would be a much different quarterback conversation that we're having than we're having with Jacoby Brissett. He's a professional. He's pretty well level-headed about this stuff. He understands. He came into it with his eyes open, and I think he expected that this would be a difficult season, which it's been so far, despite that big win in week one. But you know, eventually it stops being about how tough you are and it starts being about we gotta do something here. Anyway, for more on that and for more on this game here today from NBC Sports Boston, Mr. Tommy Curran joins the program. Tom, how you doing?
Good, Christian. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk with you again after we talked with you there on Thursday. You can catch Tommy Curran pre- and post-game and at halftime on NBC Sports Boston. This is a game that I feel like they may as well not even play, right? Like, why? What's the point of even playing this game, Tommy? No one wants to watch it. No one wants to play it. All the teams, it's a big mutiny going on with the Dolphins and the Patriots. Can they just skip the game? Is that possible?
You're weird. You're on a sports radio station talking to sports fans and telling them nobody wants to watch the game. You're not serious.
I mean, I'm not serious.
You're not serious.
Tommy. This game's brutal.
Week, I come on. Let me finish it, Chris. I come on every week. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be upbeat. I'm going to be in a good mood. I'm going to try it. And then it's that. I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, they're 1-3. Yes, it looks bad. There's guys who are muttering and mumbling. But what did we expect? I mean, I was on this station and Andy Hart was saying they might go 0-17. Why when reality hits do people flip out? Of course it looks bad. And it's going to be a bad day, most likely. They're missing Peppers. He's their best player. They're already down quite possibly Duggar, Barmore, Bentley, Andrews. I mean, it's not going to be a great day. But there's a point at which the people are showing up to watch the football and turning on the radio because they actually do kind of like to track how things are going because it's fun.
So, Tommy, in the sense of fun, I mean, look, the conversations that we've been having over the last week and really the last week and a half since that Thursday night game is, what is the biggest issue on this team? Is it the personnel? Is it the scheme? Is it some just switching the quarterback? Where can you find solutions? With all that being under consideration, do you feel like you have a good grasp of even how to evaluate the coaching staff? Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, and like what they're able to do with this group?
No, because it was so devoid of talent to begin with, and you've lost layer upon layer of quality player. As I've said with you guys before, they kind of pulled Bill out, and he was a massive sequoia. And now as they've pulled him out, there's a huge hole left where he was. And everything is in the sunshine now that wasn't previously. And I think they're getting a good look at where everything is and trying to discern whether or not the players are good enough, the personnel people are good enough, the coaching is good enough, what direction they want to go. But all of this stuff, whether it's Drake May or Jacoby Brissett or the offensive line or Mayo, takes some time. Is people like, well, why aren't they doing something different with the offensive game plans? Or why don't they do this differently? There is a period of time that you have to give everything to discern whether it's improving or getting worse. Or staying the same, and then figuring out why. I mean, they're probably, like I said, going to get rolled today. They were going to be a bad team if everybody was healthy. Now that they're in a situation where guys are out, it's going to look even worse. So when we talk about evaluating whether it's Van Pelt or Mayo or Elliott Wolf, I think with the coaching staff, you're like, how well are they keeping the players stable? How well are they doing with what they have? How well are they doing with their messaging and game planning given what they have? And that's why I thought Van Pelt, who certainly doesn't deserve any gold stars right now, but I understood what Van Pelt was driving at when he said that he liked their play style the other day. He didn't like their play. He liked their play style. They kept getting after it. But it's a really tough spot that they're in because of the injuries and because of the lack of talent.
So, Tom, you look at this team, and one of the issues, right, is injuries all over the place. But when you look at the offensive line, is there a reason that they haven't gone out and, I don't know, knocked on the door of some of these veteran guys who are sitting in free agency? Like, I understand a guy like David Bakhtiari may not want to come out of out of free agency with his injury history and come to a team like this, but there are other guys who have been in the league for 4 or 5 years, haven't found a job for this season, could use a job, and instead you're stuck with Nick Leverett, who could play center, who has never played center in his career, or Billy Hudson, an undrafted free agent out of Louisville. Why aren't they exploring the veteran free agent market on guys who don't have jobs right now?
God willing, they are exploring it. We don't have an opportunity frequently enough to talk to Elliot Wolf about those things. And I bet if we did, he would certainly probably talk around the points that you made, which is nobody's going to get off the couch to come here to be on, you know, a team that is kind of at best staying poor, at worst sinking a little bit. So it's the same situation that arose, Scheim, during free agency. They're not a desirable location until they gain a foothold and start showing some competency. It's going to remain so. So I get what you're saying. It absolutely is begging for that kind of attention. But as we talked about a million times, and I strongly felt during the offseason, Elliot Wolf whistling past the graveyard and saying that Chukwuma Okorafor and Caden Wallace would hold down left tackle, and one guy quit and the other guy's on injured reserve, and neither one ever played really very much left tackle for the team and succeeded, just shows you how horrendous a job he did with that particular group.
We're talking with Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, we were actually on the air with you, I think, when that whole mutiny thing happened with Evan Lazar over at Patriots.com, and you commented on it briefly. It's taken on a complete life of its own since then, I would say, over the last 48 hours in particular. Does that add more pressure to this game and to this locker room, sort of, and the coaching staff and the entire culture? I mean, is that something that you could see a referendum on here this afternoon?
I think it probably would galvanize them more than anything else, because I think it was extremely hyperbolic to note that it was like, what's a mutiny look like? Guys don't go on the field. They try and kneecap Jacoby, give him the old Galuli move so that Drake May has to play. I mean, mutiny is so extreme. I think there's frustration levels that exist, and the Patriots and the coaching staff have to bring that back in. One thing too, I think I said the other day, was the leaders, whether it be Andrews or Bentley or Duggar or Peppers, they're hurt. So who does Mayo turn to for who his lieutenants are to carry out the messages to guys? You know, Brissett's got enough on his plate, and he's under so much scrutiny right now that it's probably hard for him to sit there and say, okay, guys, let's all, you know, listen to what the coaches are saying. I mean, I'm not saying that he couldn't do that and wouldn't do that, but he's got enough to do without trying to bring people's frustration levels down. I don't think the referendum on anything, because as I said, if they lose the game, they're not going to fire anybody. It's how does this team look in November and December? Does anybody not want to play it the way nobody wanted to play it 2 weeks ago? I mean, this has all happened really quickly, and I think it can whipsaw back the other way really quickly. But if we look at the players that they have right now, they're just going to try and stabilize, I would think. I just don't know if it's going to look better today, given the personnel.
Tom, you say it's not going to look better today. Earlier in the conversation, you said they're going to get rolled. How much worse does it have to get?
Yeah, who's the negative one now?
Well, No. How much worse does it have to get before it gets better? Is there any chance of it looking better later in this season, or are we just looking at the draft now?
No, it's gonna stay pretty bad. But I mean, I like football, Christian. I mean, that's why I'll show up and watch. I want to figure out how much they have to do and who's viable going forward. So it will get worse before it gets better, because you can't walk with, as you know, was pointed out by Scheim, the guys who are gonna be walking out there and playing positions today are practice squad level players. and they have continued to be. At some point, though, these guys, who are not that great anyway, will get better than they are, or they'll figure out how to mask things that are going poorly for them. And then you'll get into a position where it's, okay, well, now it's time to put May out there. But you can't put him out there right now and can't really think about it given the chaos. As Dante Scarnecchia said to us a couple weeks ago on my podcast, you just don't want it to look like recess with everybody running everywhere when Drake May gets out there. And this would be the recipe for straight recess if you put him out there right now, because I just don't think there's enough there. But it'll stabilize. It'll get better.
So, Tom, for the Dolphins, it looks like Raheem Mostert's going to be active in this game and ready to go. He had a big, big game against the Pats last season, over 120 yards in one of those games. Do you think he's going to be the key to unlocking that Miami offense and the Patriots are catching them at a bad time here without Tua?
It's. Can you say that last part again? Do I think it's...
Do you think the Patriots are catching the Dolphins kind of at a bad time here where Raheem Mostert's kind of unlocked this offense a little bit?
I do a little bit, because just last week, every single time I see a disastrous performance by a team, I expect it the next week to look a little bit better, because they have to spend the whole week sucking on that disastrous performance. And, you know, the Tyreek Hill dust up on the sideline with Mike McDaniel, the humiliating way they lost on national TV, usually you expect it to get better if players are coming back. And yeah, they're still going to have Stu Puntley out there, but there's a reason Tyreek Hill was the number one player in that, you know, NFL Network thing. He is ridiculous. And there were occasions last week where I understood why he was agitated. He was running free behind the defense. So those occasions are probably going to pop up again today. And if they don't, you got guys like Mostert and Achane and Waddle to hit underneath. So it's I think it's a bad spot for New England, even though it's Snoop Huntley, given how poorly they played last week.
All right, we'll leave it right there with Tommy Curran. Excuse me. Wow, all choked up here over
Tommy
Curran. We will. We'll enjoy this game about as much as you can. Enjoy a game between two teams like this. Tommy Curran, we'll enjoy you in pregame, halftime, and postgame as well on NBC Sports Boston. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right,
Thanks,
that is Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI Sunday. Mego, beat it.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, Mego.
Mego's leaving. She's got to go cover the game. It's going to be Shime and I for the duration of the program, which will see us get to inactives here in about 15 minutes. Those will be announced, assuming the Patriots decide to get them in on time. Also, we will be talking with Andy Hart in the 12 o'clock hour, and your phone calls at 617-779-7937 as we continue here on WEEI Football Sunday. Gerard Mayo, I believe that was from Patriots All Access on Friday. As he was sitting down with Zai, I don't know if he said it again, maybe, but yeah, that was where I first heard it, where he made the announcement that Ramondre Stevenson will not get the start at running back today. It's going to be Antonio Gibson, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Jermichael Hasty could get in on this. They really don't have anybody else.
That's their entire
running back room right there, which is just going back to who to blame here. Is it Elliott Wolf? Is it Alex Van Pelt? Is it whoever? This is supposed to be a real strong run team, a team where they emphasize the run game with no offensive line and 1.5 running backs.
Yeah, like they were 1.5 running backs deep. That's smart. That makes sense. Every team in football has like two legitimate running backs except us. It's just the Patriots have Ramondre Stevenson and then Antonio Gibson, who's really just a third down back.
Yeah, Gibson did have a 1,000-yard rushing season like 4 years ago before he became more of a, he was behind Robinson and some of the other guys they had there in Washington, so they made him more of a third down back and a pass catching.
Yeah, he did have 1,000 yards in 2021.
Yeah, so, you know, he's done it before. It's been a while, and you know these running backs, they don't have very long shelf lives. They don't have long careers, and this might have been a way for Gibson to extend it, or maybe they were misusing him in Washington. I don't really know. I do know that last year, Zeke Elliott was the better running back between him and Ramondre Stevenson, right? I mean, I'm not speaking out of turn when I say that. I don't think it's outrageous to think that Antonio Gibson could come in and outshine Stevenson today. It's not like Stevenson's done much this year.
Don't you miss a guy like Zeke, though? A guy that you know you can just give the rock to on third and one, third and two, and he's going to get you one or two?
Ure.
Like, he was sure-handed, never fumbled the football. He could catch the ball out of the backfield when you needed him to, but, like, when you just needed a yard or two, Zeke came in and he got it for you. And you're missing that with this team. Like, Stevenson's been good at times.
So sad you're missing Zeke Elliott so much.
Yeah, old Zeke Elliott, too. Not even, like, prime Zeke Elliott. Just like, oh, God. The fact that you didn't re-sign him is hurting you. But then again, that just kind of speaks to the depth of this team in general, where it just... it was a poor job by Elliott Wolf preparing this roster for the season.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think there's any way to get around that. And with Stevenson out now, and again, I think there's a chance that Gibson goes out there and has a good game. I don't know if he's going to be a bell cow back who gets 30 carries for 150 yards or something, but I do think that he can go out there and pick up some first downs and do some of the stuff that you just mentioned. And I don't know. I mean, if he holds on to the ball and doesn't fumble it, then you stick with him for a little bit, right?
Yeah, but do you think there's a chance that this is just like a Belichick benching Wes Welker for a series type thing where it's like, you know, Mayo's like, yeah, Antonio Gibson's going to start. He's going to get the first drive, and then next thing you know, next possession, Ramondre's out there right away.
If Stevenson fumbled four straight weeks with Belichick here,
oh, he'd be in the abyss. He wouldn't exist anymore.
He'd live on that hill.
Yeah. he'd be banished.
Back and forth,
he might have gotten cut
forever. You'd never see him again.
Yes.
Yeah. He might have caught him. They might have caught him. You're right.
I think that's the difference too here, where I think Mayo is like, yeah, you're not starting technically, but we're still going to play you because you're technically our best offensive weapon.
He is going to play. I don't think he's going to play, but I do think that this is more than just some kind of statement. I don't think this is the type of thing that you do and it like energizes the team. Like, oh, wow, look at this move coach made. No, this is punitive. This is punishment. This is the first, I don't know, is this the first like act of punishment that the coaches are handing down to this team for play? Like, I know they traded Judon, but like,
well, they also cut Rager after the Ferrari and the garage.
That's true.
Meme.
And that was, yeah, I guess that's true. They did cut him. He wasn't really, he was on the practice squad, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But in terms of guys who are out there and who are contributing, and Stevenson, by all accounts, isn't some high strung guy. Like everyone talks about him like he's a pretty chill, you know, regular.
Mego even said, like, when they asked him about it, he was like, yeah, that makes sense. I've fumbled it four times. I get it. Like, it's, you know, I gotta be better.
It's not an attitude problem.
No,
like,
by
you're not
no
talking
means.
About that. You're not talking about something he posted on the internet. It's just the way that he's been playing. Now everybody's been playing pretty badly, right? Who else is getting punished like this?
Nobody.
All the offensive linemen end up getting hurt, so before you can punish them, you have to put them on IR.
Devon Godshaw came out and said defensive guys are being selfish and nobody's getting punished on the defense.
True. That's true. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Well, fumbles are pretty big. Like,
So is blown coverage letting DK Metcalf go free to the end zone.
That's true. And that's not the only time that happened. That's happened a couple of times so far. This should happen with
missing tackles in the backfield or missing tackles
Deebo
in general.
Deebo Samuel blew past everybody and had a big play last week. So, yeah, I mean, you're not seeing that same sort of punishment anywhere else. When it comes to turnovers, though, I think that that's one of those things that is just, it's inexcusable. You know, like if Brissett was throwing that many interceptions, May might be in by now.
Yeah, well, that's the whole reason they brought in Jacoby in the first place is because he doesn't turn the football over. And that was their big thing. We're going to run the football. We're not going to turn it over. We're going to play good defense. Unfortunately, you really haven't done any of those things lately.
No, you have not. We're waiting here for the inactives to be released. I'm seeing from Mark Daniels and a couple other people here that they don't see Javon Baker on the field. They don't see KJ Osborne warming up. Osborne didn't practice all week, so I'd imagine he'll be up on the inactives list. Baker hasn't been unleashed yet this season, which, that's a whole thing. I wonder with that, because for a team that needs some offensive spark, isn't that basically the only thing this kid could possibly provide? Is, yeah, he gets open deep and they throw him a deep one and maybe he gets it, maybe he drops it. I mean, he's dropped a few too.
Yeah, he dropped one from May that was an absolute dime in the preseason.
Would have changed the whole preseason, wouldn't it?
That would have been so nice.
For both of those guys,
yeah,
it probably
would. No kidding.
Maybe you don't see either one of them. We'll see who else is inactive. I can tell you this, the Friday injury report was lengthy.
It was
very,
big.
Very long. A lot of guys who were limited, a lot of guys who were questionable, and inactives have been released. All right, let's hear them.
So for the Patriots, you're inactives today. KJ Osborne, Jabril Peppers, Javon Baker, Joe Milton, Kyle Duggar, Chrome Jamry.
Who was that?
Defensive end, number 58, and Jaheim Bell. So no offensive linemen are inactive today.
Chrome Jamry?
Yeah, Chrome Jamry.
Is that a real person?
It is on their list. It says Chrome Jamry in front of me.
All right.
Defensive end,
not
number
familiar, 58. I'm not familiar with his work, but you will not see him today. If you're at the game, you're not going to be familiar with him either. Both of your safeties are out.
That's not good.
Jesus.
That means, so you're starting what, Jalen Hawkins?
Well, at least you just have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill to deal with. Yeah, I guess it's going to be Mapu, Hawkins, and... what, Brendan Schooler? He's a safety technically, right?
Like, so if you're the Miami Dolphins, it's run the football and then drop back and just throw it deep, right? Like, it doesn't matter who's back there. Just like, Tyreek, just run a fly route. We're just going to throw it, right? That's kind of the strategy if you're Miami this
week. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to stop him? Like, I like Christian Gonzalez a lot, but to expect Christian Gonzalez to go toe-to-toe with Tyreek Hill and step-for-step is a big ask.
I think they have to take Jonathan Jones and put him at safety today.
Probably.
I think that
has to happen.
That
would be the smarter way,
right? Like, don't you have to do that? You can't go against this team in one of your last winnable games of the season, and I say winnable in air quotes here, a team that doesn't have a quarterback going up against that when you're struggling like you are. If you want to have a snowball's chance against this offense, and again, it's an offense without a quarterback, you're a secondary without a back end. You got to put someone back there. You have to
kind of just bracket Tyreek with like the two Joneses, right? Marcus Jones up on him, and then Jonathan Jones kind of over the top, and hope Christian Gonzalez can do some work on Jaylen Waddle, and then just pray that your front seven can keep the running game to a minimum. Kind of what you have to rely on here, and it doesn't sound fun, it doesn't sound exciting, but that may be where you're at.
Yeah, I was worried one of the safeties would be out. And listen, I understand they're both strong safeties. It's not like we're talking about either one of them is Devin McCourty.
Technically, Kyle Duggar's a free safety.
He is, technically, but he plays like a strong safety, and he runs. He's better up front than he is in coverage, I would say. And
agreed.
You could make the same argument with Peppers, too, I think, even though he had that pick a couple weeks ago. But that's sort of the point, is that even your strength on the defense is somewhat one-dimensional. Like, you have some things that you clearly would be better at if guys like Bentley were still playing. If Barmore was up front, you'd have a better pass rush. And I think that would also help the corners in the secondary. Now, you don't have that. You don't have your two best players probably in the secondary. I guess you could throw Gonzalez in there, too, depending on which metric you like to use to evaluate him, which is a whole other thing. But I think by every evaluation, you know, the safeties were considered a big strength here, and they're both out against this team.
Yeah, against
this sucks, man.
The best receiver core you're going to see all year. We have the Miami inactives as well, if you'd like those.
Yeah, that's right.
Skylar Thompson inactive, Jordan Poyer, Jeff Wilson Jr., Ethan Bonner, Channing Tindall, Mohamed Kamara, and Andrew Meyer. So really kind of Jordan Poyer's the name there that sticks out, I think, for the
good
Dolphins.
Good safety for them, too. Yeah. It's too bad you don't have any deep threats that can challenge whoever's going to be in for him.
Hey, Kendrick Bourne's back.
That's true. Bourne is back. You also heard Skylar Thompson's not in, so you're not going to – it's going to be Snoop Huntley and then Tim Boyle till infinity today, I think, if something happens to Huntley. So, yeah, there you go. I mean, this is a weird game. This is a game where neither one of these teams are going to be in a great position. Speaking of other inactives, Anthony Richardson has been ruled out for today. He is inactive, so expect the Flacco show to continue another week. As there you go. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number as we continue to react to these inactives. By the way, former Miami Dolphin Van Ginkle had a pick six.
Andrew Van Ginkle, yeah.
In this game that we're watching right now for the Vikings. I forgot that they let him go. I forgot that the Dolphins let him. Why? That was kind of a... That's a guy they should have resigned, I think.
100%. I mean, he was an effective kind of rotational pass rusher, and then Brian Flores, who I'm pretty sure their timelines lined up briefly in Miami, went and was like, hey, come play for me, and they paired him up with Jonathan Grenard and that Minnesota defense, and they've been the best defense in football all year. He has been dialing it up like crazy, and it's crazy to see how good Flores has been for the Vikings this
year. It is a nice thing to see. Last week, just to remind everybody, with Snoop Huntley playing, all right, it was his first game, but with Snoop Huntley playing, the Dolphins lost 31-12 to the Titans. Huntley had under 100 yards passing. They got smoked by Mason Rudolph on defense, and Tyreek Hill was held to under 50 yards for the third straight game. He also fumbled a lateral. There was a bunch of procedural penalties. They were getting hit with too many men in motion and offensive linemen stepping back too soon and sort of all that stuff. The Dolphins, by the way, have not led in a game this season. They've never
really
had a lead. The only game they won on a last-second field goal.
That's right.
They have not led in a game this season. The Patriots, at least they can say they've led in a game. And that Huntley rushing touchdown, which I told you, that was the first touchdown the Dolphins scored in 9 quarters. So, you know, you're going up. Tyreek Hill's scary and Jaylen Waddle's scary. I agree. Those guys are terrifying, especially against a defense with no safeties. But this team has been really having a hard time putting one foot in front of the other, these Dolphins.
Yeah, they've struggled offensively, and it's kind of taken the shine off of the wonderkin in Mike McDaniel, and it's been upsetting. As someone who was a big fan of Mike McDaniel when he first started, a lot of people are kind of tired of his shtick at this point. I still think he's a good coach. I kind of expect him to find his level a little bit, and I think this is, unfortunately for the New England Patriots, a week where he could do that.
Yeah, certainly. This could be. You talk about a get-right game for the Patriots. I mean, this could be exactly that here for the Miami
Dolphins.
Especially
with no safeties. Like, it makes it so much more difficult for the New England Patriots, not only to load the box and stop the run, but on top of that, defend deep. Like, it's just, you have to choose one, and it becomes insanely impossible.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have a lot of tough decisions to make, like, in the moment. You know, do I stick with this guy? Do I go with that guy? What do I do? Do we stay in zone? Like, how do we go about this? The question is, can Huntley deliver the ball? Is Snoop Huntley going to be able to go out there and deliver the ball or not? Now, under 100 yards against Tennessee makes me think maybe not, but they've also had a whole nother week of practice.
Tennessee's defense has been good, too, this year. Like, low-key really good. And so, I don't know. I think they probably just gave him being in his first game with Miami probably gave Snoop Huntley some issues. But, I mean, Snoop Huntley has as many Pro Bowls as Mac Jones.
True.
So.
Which one would you say was less real Pro Bowl? Probably Huntley's, right? Mac had a decent year. Huntley didn't even do anything.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Huntley just filled in for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That's all he did. Yeah, yeah. Snoop Huntley's was less real. But they were both not real.
No, they were both pretty fair. And in general, the Pro Bowl, like,
once
all the guys in the Super Bowl say no, and then all the guys who just got knocked out in the conference championships say no, and then they finally get to whoever's left, it's like, all right, fine. But Mac, at least you could say, had, like, good numbers that year. You know, he was in the top 20.
He was competitive for Rookie of the Year that year.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, that makes sense.
It was him and, what, Wilson, I think?
Jamar Chase,
and then Chase beat him at the end. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, that was slightly more legitimate, but they were both pretty illegitimate. How about Mason Rudolph carving up that Dolphins defense? I mean, are we scared of the Dolphins defense?
I don't think you're scared of the Dolphins defense. Unfortunately, I don't know if your quarterback's as good as Mason Rudolph. And I don't know that your receivers are as good as Calvin Ridley. You know what I mean? So,
and Hopkins and the rest of those guys.
Yeah, even Tony Pollard's a pretty good running back. Like, Tyjae Spears was pretty good in that game
as well. And they suck, by the way. The Titans aren't a good team.
No, they are terrible.
Yeah.
They are easily one of the bottom four or five teams in football, and they had a lot of success against Miami. Granted, Miami just, the field position game was heavily in favor of Tennessee in that game as well. I think it made for a lot of short fields, but ultimately they got the job done and got the ball in the end zone. So credit to them where that is. But I am not scared by this Miami defense in the slightest.
Yeah, a couple more inactives to let you know about just on the Colts. Anthony Richardson out. Jonathan Taylor out. Quiddy Pay out. Ooh. Kenny Moore out. Samson Epgebon.
Okay, maybe I'm not betting on the
out.
Colts.
Tyquan Lewis out. DeForest Buckner out.
Holy smokes. Thank you for telling me this.
Whole team's out.
I was 100% ready to just drop a C note on Joe Flacco, and I since.
Who was it that dropped the Jeff Galooly reference? Was that Kern?
I think it was Kern, right?
Which is funny because that's much more of a Fitzy reference than I would think a Kern reference. But it sounds like Jeff Galooly got in that Colts locker room. Holy moly, that's unbelievable. That's just from Schefter. I haven't even looked around the league at the other inactives. I'm hung up on that one. But yeah, we'll let you know who else is out. We'll also not be having Wiggy's keys. So in lieu of Wiggy's keys, we're gonna do Arcan and Chimes keys.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll get Jacob's keys. Jacob hasn't said a word. Let's get Jacob's keys.
I love that. Let's do that.
Jacob, can you do an impression of Wiggy? Actually, don't.
No, don't do that.
don't do an impression of Wiggy. That's we've learned the hard way. That's not a good way to go on these airways, doing impressions of people. So, yeah, let's just leave that one to the side. Anyway, we'll have keys to the game, both for the Patriots and even maybe for the Dolphins, too. We'll have keys to the game for everybody right after this. We're back here. It's Football Sunday, WEEI, Christian Arkin, Chris Schein. Mega was here, but she left. We'll get to her pop, lock, and drop picks in a little bit. About an hour from now, I should say. We'll talk with, who are we going to talk with? Andy Hart. That's right, at 12:30.
Your favorite guy.
Blocked him out of my mind for some reason.
I don't blame you.
And right now, usually we have Wiggy's keys. Wiggy, did he just forget the keys today? He was too busy hanging out with Jay Leno, couldn't do his keys for us this week?
Correct.
So we'll go ahead and do our own keys. Chris Scheim, you got a key to victory for the Patriots today?
Yeah, I have a key to victory. Put Drake May in the game. That's my key to victory. It's the only way you're going to win this game is if somehow Drake May gets in the second half. You're losing 14-17, nothing. Drake May comes in and leads you to a comeback win.
Yeah.
That's my key.
That's a pretty good key, I'd say. I mean, I don't really have anything better than that. I don't know that they have much of a chance here in this game if they keep doing things status quo. I think upending the status quo is a key to the game for me. Stop doing the things that you've been doing here to start the year. You know, you want to lean on the run. That's not been working for you. You got a different running back in there. Try some different things with him. Try some different things with everybody. You know, get guys in motion. Run a jet sweep. Get Marcus Jones in there. I'd like to see Marcus Jones get a pitch and just take it as far as he can. You know, that was a guy who I think maybe one of your most dynamic offensive players. He's not even in the offense. Like, that's some things I'd like to see, some new things. So enough with the status quo. I know that you're still working through this offense, and I know you're trying to figure things out, Alex Van Pelt, that it's kind of vanilla to begin with. Let's spice it up a little bit, and let's start moving away from the status quo, which so far has gotten you ass kicked week
like,
in and
week
out.
Let's get the ball in the hands of Jalen Polk and Kendrick Bourne and Pop Douglas, and let's see what happens. Like, let's actually get the ball to our receivers and see if they're actually playmakers or not, instead of everybody just telling me that we have zero playmakers on this team. Like, let's just get the ball in their hands and see if something happens.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that's what the Dolphins are going to do today.
100%.
What do you think the Dolphins
100%.
Are going to do? You think they're going to lean on Snoop Huntley, or they're just going to give the ball to Hill and Waddle in space and say, make a play?
Honestly, they might be better off just running Wildcat with Mostert, Achane, Hill, and Waddle. Like, and now Odell Beckham Jr. is also playing today.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Wouldn't that be funny if, like, all those guys think, but, like, Beckham goes crazy?
That'd
and
be amazing.
Like, five touchdowns.
That'd be hilarious.
200 yards. He's, like, moonwalking in the end zone. Like, that would be funny. All right, what's key number two?
Key number two for me here is, don't fumble the football, Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. Like, these guys need to hold on to the football. They are going to get a ton of carries between the two because as much as we want them to break the status quo, they won't. So they're going to run the football a lot here. You cannot afford to turn the football over. You just can't. If you turn the football over, you will lose this game.
Yeah, my second one is get back. Get back and stay back. Forget about the too high safety. I want four guys back. I want to cover four.
Quarters.
The entire game. Yeah, get in the quarters formation, get in the prevent defense, and don't let them beat you deep, because I can live with you getting dinked and dunked on here in the short field.
Because then they actually have to stuff it in the red zone, and that's
right.
Going to be the hard part.
And if these guys, you know, there's a bunch of home run hitters on this team, and if there's a last line of defense there, if there's four guys, you know, 20 yards back, then you have a fighting chance. And that's my main thing, just as wise man once put it, GTFB, and stay there, all right? You don't have your safeties. You don't have either one of your starting safeties. So get whoever is a warm pulse and can run a 4.6 at the slowest, put them back there and have them try to, at the very least, keep a last line against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mostert and Achane and all these guys who are all big-time home run hitters and who can beat you deep. That's my main thing. Get back and stay back. All right, key number three.
That's a great key. That would have been my last key. Instead, I'll go with this. Your defensive line needs to be good today. You need to apply pressure. When Snoop Huntley is back there throwing the football, you cannot allow him the 3 seconds he needs for Tyreek Hill to get down the field. You need to push him out of the pocket. You need to put him on the run and allow for your defenders to create some chaos. That is what you had those four guys up front, and even the linebackers have to create pressure.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was one of the ones that I was going to have here, but I'll switch mine to get the tight end involved.
Ooh, okay.
Let's get the tight end involved here. The one time it looked like your offense was half decent was when you were hitting Hunter Henry. He was getting open. I know they adjusted to that, and in the second half against Seattle, you didn't see Hunter Henry at all, but at the very least, you saw that he could do things. He can make moves for himself. He can get open. He can create some of his own offense, and I think that you just sort of look up and down the roster. I know I said don't do the status quo here all the time. If the status quo was Hunter Henry and 100 yards per game, then I'd be okay with that. The status quo outside of that offensively has been dog crap, so
yeah.
That's one thing I'd like to see if you want to keep some continuity from the first month of the season. Let's get 85 involved again, and to a lesser extent, maybe Hooper, or if the kid gets in the game at all, you know, some tight end play. Like, I don't see much happening out of this wide receiver room, and I don't think that's going to change much, even with Kendrick Bourne getting into this game. Maybe he'll give you a play or two, maybe not. There was a time last year, remember when, like, Kendrick Bourne would play, like, one snap and catch a ball for, like, 60 yards and
then
get benched for
the
rest of the game? And it's like, you know, if that's what 100% of Kendrick Bourne's snaps look like, maybe you should play more. Maybe you should get over whatever problem you have with him and keep it moving, which also leads me to this. You know, we've talked a lot about the mutiny, and I've heard people say, well, when Belichick was here, this sort of thing would get squashed right away. You think? Because Kendrick Bourne would disagree, Mac Jones would disagree, Jacoby Myers would disagree, and these are guys who weren't whispering and yelling at each other after the game. These are guys who were standing in front of their lockers and saying, this isn't working, this coaching staff's not doing it right, I don't like the play calling, I don't think this is right, you know, like, I think this, me, I think this, me, Mac Jones thinks this, and nothing happened. So, like, eventually things happened. But, like, for the most part, those guys were back out the next week. You saw them again. Really, Kendrick Bourne took the brunt of the punishment from that stuff.
Very much so.
And he was only one third of the voices that were openly questioning the coaching.
And he might have been, like, the softest voice, too. Like, he wasn't even the loudest. And yet he was taking the brunt of the punishment.
Yeah. And I just think that there were definitely, at the end, mutinies here under Bill Belichick. That's
Absolutely.
The reason why Bill Belichick's gone.
And that's what happens on losing football teams.
Yeah, and that's why we all recognize this so well. Like, we all saw this. We all saw it happening. And it's not happening to even that same extreme, because you're not hearing guys come out after the game and say, I need the ball more. Pop Douglas had his little thing, but that was, you know, a couple of weeks
and
ago.
And immediately
he apologized.
Walked it back.
He walked it back, and you're not seeing anybody else, probably because they don't have the cachet to come out and do it. But you're not seeing it the way you saw it with Mac and Myers and Bourne in the last years there with Bill. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's that unusual. I really don't. I think this is with bad football. This is what happens.
100% this is what happens. And the reason you're not seeing it from guys that, like, at the quarterback position is because Jacoby Brissett's too much of a professional for that. He's too much of a team-first guy. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to create drama or chaos. He wants to go out and do his job and hopefully do it well. Unfortunately for him, hasn't been all that great. But, like, that's just not in his DNA. And I think that's one of the reasons you haven't seen that out of your quarterback, unlike you did with Mac Jones.
Speaking of doing your job, we just did Wiggy's job pretty well right there.
I think we did a great job.
I mean, we did twice the keys, first of all. We had six keys for you. He only gave you three. And they were all pretty good.
We were slinging keys around there.
Yeah, we were
good
slinging keys
us.
Like Aaron Rodgers is slinging passes into the end zone.
They're
right
really
now,
trying to get
one.
In the end zone.
Real quick, by the way, Aaron Rodgers, it looked like blew his knee up again. It looked like his
I thought he was toast.
Career was about to be over. And he popped right back up after that. He was getting sacked. It was sort of a high-low sack there by the Vikings, and he kind of got bent sideways on his left leg, I guess it was, and you saw on one replay very clearly, he's like screaming like Mac Jones when he sprained his ankle, and it looked like that was probably it. There were guys tending to him. He was writhing around in the ground, rolling around. The Jets go to punt. There was a running into the kicker penalty. They got the ball back.
They're going to get 3 points out of it.
Here comes Aaron Rodgers. He comes right back out. Didn't miss a series. I don't think he even missed a snap.
Nope.
And is back out there playing. They just led a field goal drive. They're within a touchdown now. It is 17-10. The Vikings lead the Jets at, where are they, Tottenham? Is that where they're playing?
Tottenham Hotspur,
yeah.
Under a minute left in the third quarter for you.
By the way, just a quick correction as well. I said earlier this is the first international game. That's not true. They played in Brazil already.
Oh, that's
right.
I was
just thinking about Europe for some reason. So there you go. It's the second international
It's the first
game.
Of the London series. I think they have, what, 3 weeks in London?
Yeah, right? Is it three in London and then more somewhere else, or am I...
Yeah,
tripping?
I think... Is there more games in Germany this year? I never remember. There's so many Europe games. It's like... It's dumb.
By the way,
next week we get Jacksonville, Chicago, followed by Jacksonville and New England.
Okay, there you go. Very good. All right, there it is. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Those are the keys to the game. And when we come back, we will hear from Andy Hart. We'll get his take on this matchup here on this really, I'd say, a brutal, brutal day for the Patriots and for the Dolphins. We've seen the inactives. We'll go back over those. It's all coming up in the final hour here of WEEI Football Sunday.